If you would take your Bibles and turn with me to the 35th chapter of Isaiah. 35th chapter of Isaiah. As we read this morning, as we think about joy and joy from God's strength, Isaiah 35, verses 1 through 10. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. He will come with vengeance and terrible recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For water shall break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool and the thirsty ground springs of water. The haunt of jackals shall become a swamp. The grass shall become reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not travel on it, but it shall be for God's people. No traveler, not even fool, shall go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come on it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return, and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. In a few moments, we will be singing probably one of the most well-known and well-loved of all Christmas songs. We sing it very often. And I remember that one of our sons, before he really knew how to read and really knew what the song said, would sometimes sing it, "Joined to the world, the Lord has come." Not joy to the world, but joined to the world, the Lord has come. Now that is a rather humorous thing, and children and sometimes we adults get things all mixed up. And sometimes we adults, especially these days, in our particular time, get things really mixed up, thinking that joy comes from being joined to the world, or being joined to the things that we want out of the world, especially these days. Yet, while Israel thought of world powers in their day and wondered when they would experience joy, and while we think of world powers even today and wonder when there will be joy and peace for the world, this beautiful chapter speaks of confidence. Confidence in the messianic future. That is, confidence in the world of the Messiah. A confidence that we too often push off to the future, thinking of the kingdom of God in the heavens, the place we long to go. Not realizing that if we will cease to be joined to the world, that we can find that future is now. We can find a joy transformed by the strength of God, which takes us away from being joined to the world and unites us with God and with each other in Jesus the Christ. So what kind of joy and what kind of transformation can we find coming from God's strength. And coming from this particular passage to us, I would submit that first of all, we can find a transformed setting within our lives and for our lives. The passage speaks of deserts turning into gardens and dry places becoming lush and the haunts of jackals becoming swamps filled with rushes and filled with positive life, not negative. Sometimes Edom is used in the writings of Isaiah and other places in the Hebrew Scriptures as a symbol of power that was once prolific but had become like a desert. While Isaiah refers here to the desert, he is actually probably referring to the Judean desert. Something very familiar with his readers and his hearers. I think this passage also signifies not just a physical desert, but rather it signifies the desert of a life without God. The desert of our lives when sometimes we forget about our connection with God and we wander and we wonder. Yet, we are told that Messiah will transform that setting. Messiah will change those deserts to prolific gardens. Can change those times, those dry times and desert times in our lives into places of growth and joy and true life. You know, the text says that our lives can be transformed from weakness and fear to strength and faith. Weakness and fear. You know, fear makes us weak. Fear freezes us sometimes so that we can't move and we can't do what we know God wants us to do. In fact, Isaiah in the Hebrew text uses some interesting words to talk about not just the spiritual, but the physiological things that happen to us when we are afraid, when our lives become deserts, and we wonder what the next step is to be. And he speaks of the fear that is present and will remain unless God reaches in and helps us. The effects of that fear are exhaustion, being feeble or weak-kneed, having an anxious heart, and being afraid. You know, fear does all kinds of things to us. And sometimes when we find ourselves in those desert times in life, we're afraid to move because we're afraid of what step we might take. And sometimes it's not so much, for many of us, it may be fear of making a mistake. But for some of us, it can also be a fear that if we take this step, perhaps God is going to ask us to do more than we really want to do. To take on more responsibility than we really want to have. To lead us to speak to someone when we really want to be quiet. To ask us to share of our lives, not just spiritually, but physically, emotionally, materially, and we want to hang on. And this makes us anxious because we know what is right to do, but we're afraid to do it. And we become feeble-kneed. I don't think he's talking here about how bad my knees are, and I know some of you have some tough knee situations as well. I tell folks, and we were talking this morning, some of us, I said, I tell folks I'll soon be 55, but my joints are about 89. But that weak need, that anxious heart where there is no calm, there is no calm in part because we're afraid to step forward and do. but also there is no calm because we know what we ought to step forward and do. And when we don't, we're left with an anxious heart. And yet, Isaiah, in the middle of all of the things that were going on in his world, with world powers, with people wondering and wandering and not listening closely to God, Isaiah didn't give up hope. In fact, Isaiah speaks of joy and strength in God, as God instills courage when faith is exercised, as God gives strength, which causes fear and weakness to disappear. There is the assurance for God's children. He will save you, and you will experience deliverance. Deliverance that brings joyful and joyous abundance when we accept God in Christ. Some may think, oh, well, but you know, I accepted God in Christ 10 years, 20 years, right years ago. But then again, when we become joined to the world, the economy, the wars, and other things, we need to accept God's grace in Christ each day. That causes our lives to be transformed and not transfixed. We also find that God transforms our condition physically and spiritually. From physical abundance, we find life. Even though sometimes we seem to be disabled in so many different ways. In the ancient world, disabilities often meant a hopeless situation. There were no physical therapists and social programs to help someone to get back on their feet and to move forward, however slowly, but to move forward and make progress. But with God's Messiah, not only is that possible physically, but more importantly, it is possible emotionally and spiritually, because sometimes it is our spirits that become disabled and disenfranchised. And it is our spirits that long for joy and peace, those spirits of an anxious heart. And yet in God's Messiah, God will right the wrongs. He will right the wrongs of those spiritually dry times. He will right the wrongs between people in His Messiah. God, who opens those who truly seek Him, will open the senses, restore the spiritual sight, and renew the ability to hear and understand God's Spirit. Now, while in the passage there is meaning for the people of Israel of restoration from physical exile, there is much more than that here for them and for us today. Physically, most of us are not in exile. But emotionally and spiritually, many of us are still wandering in the wilderness, wondering how to get out. But here, Isaiah talks about that Messiah who, for him, that Messiah who was to come, but for us, that Messiah who is, who will bring redemption and salvation. In fact, when John the Baptist was in prison, at one point he sent some of his followers, after hearing stories about what Jesus was doing, to ask if Jesus really were the Messiah, or if there was supposed to be another one and John might have missed the signs. Recorded in a couple of places, but in Matthew chapter 11, verses 2 through 5, we read, "When John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, 'Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?' And Jesus answered them, 'Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them.'" Well, I don't know if you recognize it or not, But that is what we read just a few moments ago in Isaiah 35, 5 and 6. That the Messiah brings that kind of freedom and deliverance to any who are wandering, to any who are in the desert. In Christ, there is a change from desert to abundant waters, living waters. Isaiah speaks of the abundance of the waters coming. But in Jesus, we have those living waters. He even said to the woman at the well in Samaria that He was the one who gave life and who gives living water in abundance. And the thirsty ground. Don't you like that image? The thirsty ground. You think of parched earth in the middle of a drought and how it cracks and dries out and curls and shrivels, crying out for refreshment and renewal. And the rains fill the thirsty ground so that the cracks disappear and the ground seems whole again. The thirsty ground of life will be transformed in a satisfying relationship with God, which leads to a way of personal communion. Communion with God that brings joy. The highway of the holy, as Isaiah speaks here. Now that's a radical idea if you think about it. A highway that leads to communion with God, direct communion with God. For Isaiah's folks, that is a radical concept, to commune directly with God and not through the proper priests. While holy means separate and otherness, the highway is declared holy by both the one who makes it that way and those who trust in Him and who travel it. My major professor, or my advisor in seminary, and I also had some courses under Dr. J. Leo Green, once spoke of this highway in talking about, I had a course on him, from him on the prophets, and he was speaking of this highway. And from the notes that I took way, way back many, many years ago, I share. He said, "This highway is holy. It is a way to become clean and acceptable to God. It is simple." He said, "The highway," in Hebrew, the word highway speaks of a raised road, one that is above the others, one that is where no one can miss it because they can see. And it is a simple way. It is a simple way that is clearly marked, leading to God. He said, thirdly, it is safe. This highway to God is safe. While violence and wild animals abound around the highway and nip at the heels of those who might travel, on this highway there is safety because God protects those who seek Him. It is a happy way to go as well. Though trials come, there is so much joy for those who truly follow that gladness overwhelms the trials and they sing in joy. And he said, finally, it is a highway that leads home. A highway that leads home. The road begins in many places. It begins where each of us have been or are. But it always has one destination: everlasting life with God. Everlasting life at home. At home. Even now, at home, as we journey through life. So what is required for us to travel this highway, to find this joy in God's strength, to be redeemed? Because He says the redeemed will travel the highway. The word redeemed means to reacquire one's possession and satisfy the wrongs that have been done. And to be ransomed. set free by paying a price. It is God Himself who comes as Redeemer, who comes to ransom us from the wrongs that have been done, even from our own wrongs. This results in coming to God. We who set our minds, our hearts on God, and who recognize God's abiding joy. It brings joyfulness. It brings gladness. It brings everlasting joy in God's presence. Now, I'm not painting a rosy picture only because, as you know, even when we come to God in the Christ, we are not kept from trials and difficulties, some of them our own doing and some because of the world. But we find joy in God's strength and in the promise that is given to us that God will indeed travel with those who are His children along that highway of holiness, that highway that leads home. And because of what God has done in His strength for us, we can have undiminished joy. The little boy was lost in London. And he knew where his neighborhood was, and he knew that he had to go through Charing Cross to get there. And he ran into one of the policemen in London, and the policeman asked him what he was doing out so late at night. He said, "Sir, I'm lost." And the policeman said, "Well, do you know where you live?" He said, "Well, I can't remember exactly how to get there from here, but if you can just get me to Charing Cross, then I can get home. If you can just get me to the cross, then I can get home." The policeman gave him directions, and he was very joyous as he reached that place in London and found his way home. Sometimes we think it's only a dream, but in God's strength, we find the reality of joy. Joy in Christ. Joy that leads us to develop an awareness and appreciation, not just for Christmas time or Easter, of what God does for us, but an awareness and an appreciation of God's care daily for you and for me. As we recognize that God is the only one worthy of such trust. As we seek to be patient and wait with God, we also need to be patient and wait on others. As we find more and more that we desire to know more and more of God and to be known more and more, then our dry places, our deserts, will become gardens, lush and beautiful. And we can sing, not joined to the world, but in spite of the world, we can sing, "Joy to the world, the Lord is come." And in that, we find God's strength. May we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we do come to You, sometimes wandering and sometimes wondering in our own deserts. Wondering when and how we can ever regain joy. Sometimes we put on a front, showing happiness when deep down inside we are cracked and thirsty. Bring us renewed waters, renewed strength. Turn our dryness into gardens of glory, glorifying not us, but glorifying You, as we share that everlasting joy because of Your strength. We offer these prayers, and we offer ourselves in the name of the One who is the joy of the world, Jesus. Amen. Our hymn of decision is hymn number 270, "Joy to the World." As we sing, May we truly sing out with joy, and may it be not just something we sing at Christmas time, but may this joy truly be a part of our daily lives. Our altar is open for any who would make a decision for Christ or to recommit to following Him daily, or who would come and become a part of our fellowship here as we sing all four verses of Joy to the World.